My message to Biden. No way, Jose.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jet is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Screwed up there, guys, the transition. Hey, what's up, guys? You're watching No Way Jose. You can find us on the No Way Jose YouTube channel, all the major audio podcatchers, and Rumble as well. Today, my guest is BX. If you guys are watching the 16th, this is a live stream. And you are a patron. If not, you're gonna have to wait like a week or so, roughly, like the rest of the pores. But if you want to get that stuff early, patreon.com just NoWayJose2020. The lowest levels $2 get early episodes, and the highest levels my sponsors, and I read them off every episode. I have Toad, of who's my co-host on Tower Gang. Follow him at Tower Gang Toad. Also have at Abrogate D's, then Kevin B. Clark, a full-time guitarist and private music teacher in the New York area. Then at @ZOVERACK, then at @_infinitezeal. And Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast. You can follow him at Biblical Anarchy. I just had an episode of where I was on his show pop. God, I'm fucking brain fart. I was just on his show recently. He just dropped the episode, so go check that out. I also have Tim Tuttle at Jolly on Klebold, then at StinkySock420. He's a singer of the Bender hardcore band. Guys, let me know how you like my new intro that was from Laney. If you guys hadn't heard that, I think I just started using it as kind of my default intro when I don't have like a specific theme I'm going with, and intro to go with it. So let me know your opinions. I'm interested to hear what they are. I dig it. Like, it's like Elvira music that like really slaps. But with that, let's get BX in here and start shooting the shit. What's up, BX? How you doing?
Hey.
A pleasure to have you. I feel like it's been a long time coming. I've kind of always wanted to bring you on for something. You did this Manosphere thing recently, so that gave us something to talk about. But you've covered a lot of stuff. I kind of want you to tell me sort of what you do, because I know you're more Twitch based and I'm kind of like a Luddite. So like that's foreign to me. And so like normally I like research people when I bring them on the show. I mean, I followed you on Twitter, but like for me, I'm just such a Luddite. I haven't jumped over Twitch, and I followed like a lot of your stuff and like good stuff, but like I just don't get Twitch. So explain to me what exactly you do over there. Are you just playing video games and talking about conspiracies? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I play video games, or I do art, like I paint and stuff. And while I rant about like the government and conspiracy and stuff, it's pretty fun. But you know, I used to have like a YouTube channel that was like pretty legit. But it got torched, out of nowhere. What a surprise. Then I have a Rumble channel that I swear one day I'm going to start like really building up, but I do have some videos, BX on Rumble. So yeah, you can go check out what I've got now. I've got some pretty cool videos up. I'm working on another one to put up on Rumble right now too. More polished stuff. Whereas Twitch is just like a live stream where I just bullshit and talk.
Okay. Well, you had a pretty sizable following. So I guess I just assumed. I don't understand the format. I know it's video games. That's about all I know.
I mean, you could do anything. I mean, the only thing that's different with the Twitch than YouTube is that you don't like have like videos that you edit and put up. It's all a live stream, but people do podcasts. People do all kinds of stuff there.
Yeah. I mean, I could theoretically do that. I mean, I paywall this for people, but it's just a live stream. I don't ever edit. I mean, on a handful of occasions I have when there's been something crazy, but yeah, there's no editing in the show, mostly just because I'm lazy. But yeah. Oh, go ahead. Were you about to say something? Okay. All right. Anyways. But yeah, let's what kind of stuff have you been covering over in your neck of the woods? Like what makes you tick? Like if people were to follow your stuff, what would they find? I think I have a good idea, but I know Manosphere, incels, all sorts of, shootings. You seem to be covering the spectrum. What are your things?
Yeah, well, I think it's better to like discuss my path, because it's important to note that I started my path and then I ended here. And I think that that's really important to keep in mind, because the entire, like I was saying to you earlier, like everything is just inexplicably connected all the time. And it's just so hard to get past the fact that like all of these seemingly unrelated things have all these crossovers, right? And that's really like getting into the core of it. So, but when I started, I guess before I started looking into the shooter stuff, I started looking into mass shootings, before that I was whistleblowing a child predator ring on Twitch, which was massive. And I was talking a lot about Twitch, big tech accountability, or more like big tech complicity in just allowing these like giant, massive child exploitation operations to conduct business on their platforms, seemingly immunity, right? And then, what ended up happening was that the child predator ring that I was exposing on Twitch ended up getting boosted to Bloomberg. And then that ended up breaking as an expose against Twitch, which revealed that there were 280,000 kids targeted on Twitch with this one ring, which was like, 2,000 organized criminals. I'm sure it wasn't just like a couple of creeps, it was like an Eastern European, mafia kind of black market deal. So that was pretty big deal. It got Twitch in a lot of trouble. Twitch has been in a downward spiral ever since. Part of the reason is because the UK was like, basically slapped them and said, you have to put in all of these fail safes to protect kids. This is unacceptable. And then they made a lot of really terrible business decisions since then. So Twitch is really not doing great. Then after that, I started to look in, started to look into mass shootings, and that's where everything got pretty weird, and it progressed from there. Somehow I ended up here at this DHS clusterfuck, which is basically just a bunch of grant money being given to NGOs to censor, surveil, and monitor people. And I know that what I broke was very specific to the Manosphere, but rest assured, it's happening to everyone. Oh, yeah. That was just the reason that I harped on that particular grant. And this wasn't the first time I tried to expose it either. I'd been trying to expose this entire grant program for what it was doing. I lucked out in that I found the grant that actually was naming, I found a report kind of hidden on a Google Drive that was actually naming names of Manosphere figures. And that's where I was able to be like, hey, yo, Rollo, look at this, your name is here. And then he helped me kind of get that out. So, but it's just weird that it led me there. Obviously I was looking into the incels because of their connection to mass shootings. What I found was, it's alarming and spooky and, what's going on? What's happening here?
Yeah, for sure. This stuff does all interconnect. And I guess a good spot to start with is probably the Manosphere. And all this stuff in my head, I'm seeing all the connections already. But just kind of give a rundown. It sounds to me like they're trying to almost create their own, like Harry Sissons or whoever the hell's of their own, like to counteract the Manosphere with all this grant money. Is that what I'm understanding?
What's a Harry Sisson?
I don't really understand. it's the first name that came to my mind. Those like, you always see those like specifically, it's probably like, I noticed them more like 4 months ago or so, maybe a little bit more, where like specifically Democratic influencers, but like,
oh, those fake takes. Accounts.
Well, they were like, but then you find out that they were like completely completely propped up, and you're getting paid tons of money to just make viral TikToks and blah blah blah. Because I'm just kind of curious, what is, I guess to sum it up a little bit, you're saying that there's certain organizations that's getting grant money to essentially combat the Manosphere guys or people, because I guess girls and other chicks are included there as well. But I guess I'm just trying to figure out what is even the game here? How are they trying to take him down? I guess back up a little bit, you can give the other people a summary. I kind of gave a disjointed summary.
Yeah, there. I can give a summary of it. Yeah. So basically, when I started to look into the incel movement, the reason I started looking into it was because I had kind of informally met a person online. She was running a podcast for incels. And I was very interested in her research in the manosphere community in the incel community, right? She was very specifically in this incel community. And I didn't really know what incels were at the time. I just thought it was like an insult that you said to a guy online. I think most people feel that way, right? This is when I started to realize, no, there's a forum, like a website, like a chat room, right? And it's specifically for incels. And this is what seems to be the source of the terrorism. Okay. And it's important because all of this DHS grant money, all of this stuff is like, you know, based on incels as a terror threat. But incels in general are not really a terror threat. But this one group seems to be one. I mean, I went and looked around, you know, took a peek and was like, what the fuck is happening in here? I mean, people are grooming, very specifically grooming individuals to become mass shooters. When I say that they're doing that, what I mean is like they're individually targeting people in there who say, man, I sure hate my high school. Everybody bullies me. And then you get these accounts that aren't, it's not like just like, oh, we can't moderate everything. No, I mean, like these accounts have like hundreds of thousands of posts and have been there for 4 or 5 years, right? And they're saying, hey, you know what you should go do? You should go ER on the school, which is ER is short for Elliot Roger. So like that's their little slang for, you know, commit a shooting. And so when I saw this happening, I mean, I'm not just like giving gun advice and like all the stuff that was, you know, in my head as looking into mass shootings. Well, this is exactly what I've been looking for. This is it. When you see, oh, they were in a chat room and blah, blah, blah. This is one of them. I now know there are many. And another thing that happens is like, I think that these bigger, more public forums act as like a selection pool because after that, they target them individually. DMs, like they're trying to get them into a Discord server, trying to get them onto Telegram where they can more individually target them, right?
Yeah.
So I started wondering, like...
Oh, sorry. That's kind of similar to Ken's theory to what he thinks Patriot Front is, where that's kind of like where they hang out when they're just kind of getting, and then they pull, that's like a feeder group for other Fed groups. Something similar like that.
This is a very common strategy. This is the strategy. It happens with every group that does any kind of grooming or indoctrination or radicalization. And, you know, if you want to play, you know, if you want to, you'd want to just make the argument that, hey, ISIS did this. This was the ISIS recruiting tactic, right? This was like the gold standard. ISIS basically were the ones who really took online radicalization to the next level, right? And so now it's like all these groups know it works. And so that's the formula they follow. Yes, they find a vulnerable person, they lure them into a private, more private setting, and then they brainwash them. I mean, they're brainwashing them. I've compared this a lot to child grooming. You know, like if you can, like what child groomers do, like what I've seen in my work in child advocacy is they get a huge number of kids, as many kids as they can. And they start, you know, chatting with all of them and they pick out the ones that don't have parents, that complain about school, the ones that seem to be troubled, the ones that don't have supervision. Right. And they select those kids because those are the ones they know are going to be easier to convince to do whatever fucked up shit they want to do. Right. So it's the same thing. These people are very exploitive. They're predators. They're very good at finding people who are vulnerable. And in the incel community, what this usually means is young, troubled, awkward, autistic, neurodivergent, mentally ill. All of these types of people are what they are just honing in on, right? Because it's way more easy to convince those types of people, you know, just like indoctrinating somebody into a cult. You notice that most of them have like previous trauma. They all kind of have similarities that led them to be exploited, right? Mm-hmm. So they're vulnerable people. But when you look at the bigger picture, you know, you do start to see that common theme with like a lot of different groups. Yeah. I mean, and cults, honestly, you know?
Yep.
I found my way in there and what I saw, you know, was really alarming. I ended up finding out this woman who I'd been talking to, she worked for one of these NGOs. So there's all of these NGOs that kind of like circle around these groups. Incel is just a very, very easy, good example because you can see it, right? But I'm sure it happens with all sorts of groups. But these NGOs, they're paid by government counterterrorism agencies mostly to monitor, surveil, and act as like threat assessors. And they operate what's called like fusion centers, where basically these threat assessors then go and they network with the police and mental health, with first responders and all these types of people. So they can prevent like what the DHS calls a resiliency network, which would be like, hey, we're going to try to identify these people before they become a problem and give them help. But the problem is that there is no transparency to any of this. So it's not like you can just read a report and be like, yeah, here's some anonymous case studies where we've helped a person and taken them and got them mental health and treatment. All you hear are just like these people from the forum or like, you know, words, you know, through the grapevine, so-and-so got a knock on their door. Now they're gone, right? Or so-and-so went on a mass shooting. What happened there? Whoops, you missed one, right? And so the point is that you've got this place that they're just allowing to continue to exist where all of these things are happening in plain sight. And then they're going, yeah, we're doing such a good thing here. Oh, we're really helping these guys. Oh, we're finding the ones and we're helping them. Well, why did you let them go in there in the first place? Why aren't we protecting these people from these exploited predators, these terrorists? I mean, these people are terrorists. When I say terrorists, I'm not talking about like, you know, like the hysterical left, like definition of, I'm talking about ISIS. There's members of ISIS in there, and they're luring them into Discord servers and they're linking them to ISIS recruitment websites. I mean, and what's really funny is like, you know, I've been attacked by these the owners of this forum because I know who they are. And, you know, I've poked at them a lot on Twitter, right? I come at them pretty hard. And like, you know, they'll tell me, well, oh, she's being hysterical. It's all just shit posting. They're just kidding. I'm like, they're leading people to the ISIS recruitment page. Like it's functionally indistinguishable, right, from terrorism. But they'll try to claim that it's all just a big joke and they're trying to trigger the normies. And, you know, that's another way that they kind of try to say, oh, haha, you're just getting fooled by a prank. But what we saw from this ISIS watchdog page, they had produced a report that showed that there were 5,000 site visits from the incel forum to the main ISIS recruitment page in a 3-month span. But this is a lot. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of traffic being driven there, right? And it's not going the other way. So it's not like ISIS is interested in incels. And ISIS is in there and they're leading incels there because they know that these guys are vulnerable. They know that they're easy targets for extremists, right? And they're convincing them to commit terror attacks. And you're seeing the output of this on the news. You're not seeing this, which is the input, but you're seeing the output where they go, oh, we're so great. We just stopped a 16-year-old ISIS member in Las Vegas from committing a shooting. Aren't we awesome? Well, I have questions. Like, how did a 16-year-old kid in Las Vegas become radicalized with, you know, into ISIS? How did that happen, guys? Like, how long did you watch this kid get radicalized and not step in, not do anything about it? You know, where are the people who indoctrinated him and why aren't they in jail? You know,
and it seems like half the time it's not even an ISIS individual in cases like these. It makes you wonder who really is pulling the strings. But I mean, I don't know, to be fair, it could be ISIS in a lot of these occasions. But yeah, sorry, I'll let you go on to again to how this affects the money wise when it comes to the
sphere and such. Well, and to your point, I'm just using ISIS because it's a really easy example. But on this website, we have national socialists. You know, we have neo-Nazis. We have Eastern European neo-Nazis, like the bad ones, right? Like not the edgelords here that we have in the States, but like sinister bad types.
They're all going, yeah, fed.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. You're going to keep saying it right now because we've also got this spooky satanic neo-Nazi cult Order of Nine Angles in there, dicking around, trying to get kids into Discord servers, trying to get kids to commit ritual murders, ritual suicide under the guise of Satanism. So it's very sinister. And there's a lot of different terrorist groups. I found Mexican cartels in there recruiting. I mean, it's just really bizarre. But yeah, that it does raise a lot of questions, and your chat would be right to be asking that question, because, you know, at this point we have a lot of evidence that there are a lot of feds in there tinkering around, and we, you know, we haven't gotten any answer to our questions about it, right? We haven't heard them say, oh, we can explain that it's because of this. We're not getting any of that. We have tons of evidence that they're there, but no reciprocal kind of pushback. So there's no reason not to believe that. and when you start to look at the money flow, which is kind of where I got into these grants, it's the DHS Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Grant, the TVTP grant program. You can go look it up. man, this weather is like killing my throat, dude. If you go to the DHS TVTP page, you can now see, because of a FOIA release, a whole dump of grant awards. And every single one that you read has something that you're going to be like, I got questions about it, right? Like, this doesn't seem so good. And if you're really interested in doing more research into that, you should look up that program. There's a lot of articles and resources from the Brennan Center for Justice. It's a New York law firm that has been attacking this program for decades. I mean, well, like over a decade since Obama first instituted the program. Basically, what it is a grant program that's operated by DHS. Congress funds with anywhere from $10 to $20 million a year to give to these NGOs, non-government organizations, right? To basically... you know, study and monitor and, you know, form these resiliency networks, which are really just surveillance machines for the state. So what the fusion centers do, what they claim to do is, you know, connect law enforcement, local law enforcement with federal law enforcement and also mental health resources. But the key is the federal law enforcement, because what it does is it provides a shortcut for the feds to basically have more authority over local investigations. And I really do think that that's the key there, right? Because what you end up having is data collection. A lot of these programs are AI monitoring and scraping and surveillance of words related to generalized extremist movements, which, as you see, includes the manosphere, which is bizarre. It also includes what they call anti-government movements. And they've defined this as people, you know, I don't know if you've seen this, but I posted it on Twitter. The definition was, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was people who generally believe that the government is tyrannical and infringes too much on personal freedoms. That was the McCain Institute definition for an extremist, anti-government extremist. I'm like, bro, like that's all of us, right? Like that means that if you criticize this program as being tyrannical or infringing on rights, you're a terrorist by the definition of the program. So it's pretty silly. And it's almost like you have to laugh because it's so absurd, right? Because right here you have anti-government movements, ISIS, and then the manosphere. And you're like, these things, one of these things is not like the other, right? One of these is a giant foreign terror organization. And the other one is just a group of dudes who whine about women online, right? They're not coordinating terror attacks. There's no money flow. There's no organization. And so what I found with that is that, you know, they're using the incel violence and they're conflating it with the greater manosphere. So you've got the manosphere, if you don't know what it is, neither do I. Nobody knows what it is, okay? Nobody knows what the red pill means. It's all a psyop, in my opinion. But, you know, you've got some of these guys like Rollo Tomasi who've been around for years doing like pickup artist stuff, right? Men are from Venus and women are whatever it is. Women are from Venus and men are from Mars, right? That kind of shit.
It's just dudes that figured out how to get laid a bunch of times and think they cracked the code or something.
Yeah.
It's a secret to a great life, I guess.
Right. And now there's some really, like, in my opinion, toxic assholes like Andrew Tate out there, right? But he's relatively new, whereas people like Rollo have been doing this for a really long time. And, like, in my opinion, his content's not nearly, I mean, I don't agree with everything he says, but, I mean, that kind of shit will just make me go, huh. You know, it's not like, whoa, what are you getting at here? Why are you trying to lower the age of consent here, bro? Because I see that a lot with some of these newer kind of plants, in my opinion. But I digress. So the manosphere in general, right? They're trying to say that it leads to incels. So they're trying to say that, oh, the manosphere is creating incels. Therefore, instead of targeting this big terrorist form that we could easily target, no. We're going to target this broad, sweeping, general, segment of the public who have not broken any laws. They've not expressed any intention to be violent. They've not broken any terms of services on any social media platforms even, right? And they're saying these people are extremists because they lead to these violent people over here. Well, think about this in the terms of the other terror threats like anti-government movements. So you see that the precedent they're setting there is like, well, you know who kind of starts these anti-government extremists? All these people who talk about the Oklahoma City bombing, they're really suspicious. That's how this guy started. The guy, you know, the guy who blew his house up in Virginia, they were really quick to be like anti-government extremists over here, right? And then you're like, well, here we go. They're going to start saying now, oh, I see. He was kind of, you know, into these government conspiracy theories. And this is how they get in and they attack you and I. And they say, we're extremists now because this guy blew up his house. So that's the ultimate goal. I think there's layers to the goal. I mean, obviously there's these feminists who just want to censor the manosphere because they don't like them. But that's a very superficial layer. And that's, unfortunately, that's the one that I've seen all of the manosphere podcasts talking about. They're like, well, that's the Matrix attacking us. It's proof that they hate men. And I'm like, really what this is like, the person, and I already put this out too, this information that the person who had assembled the team of feminists who are really annoying and just want to censor people, right? But the person actually behind it, now he's a congressman, congressional candidate in New Jersey. And he's gone on the record to say that his goal is to expand the definition of terrorism to include those pesky January 6th insurrectionists. They're all terrorists now. Because he's mad that they're not considered terrorists. So his goal is to expand the definition of terrorism to include all sorts of different things, which is very dangerous. Because what that does, they use that to justify surveillance, monitoring, censorship, sending you to fucking jail, you know, like crazy shit. And then, I was just going to say.
Go ahead. You can finish that.
Yeah. So this guy, you know, that's what my whole thing was like. That was this guy's goal. His goal is to expand the definition of terrorism. And he also specifically said that he wanted to use NGOs to do that because he said, well, people don't trust the government. So we're going to use NGOs to basically circumvent our legal authority. Right. And he wanted to coerce. He said he wants to coerce big tech to implement favorable policies to them. So that's the big picture. And then you have the military industrial complex kind of parallel where like people are just making money to keep terrorism going. They don't want to stop terrorism because they need to stop making money. So there's a few different kind of layers to it.
So their theory is that individuals engaging in manosphere content will become more embroiled in their incelism. Is that roughly what I'm getting from this? Because that seems
it's nonsense.
It's kind of nonsense. Yeah. And because I mean, looking at this from like a big picture thing, and it's maybe kind of a crude way to put it, but like the general archetype of what the manosphere is promoting, I do think they are flawed and stupid in a lot of ways, generally speaking, but I'd say generally it's better than an incel because at least like as a man, don't get me wrong. Like, I think like kind of what the manosphere represents is like man going out and doing what they perceive as man shit and like, but it's kind of like an unbridled form of it. That's going to eventually lead to you probably being lonely and upset anyways and not going to want, but at least you're somewhat embracing your masculinity as an incel. It's like the opposite, you know, you're just like kind of a sad, pathetic thing.
The black
pill. So like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, I think if you stop, if you are someone who got like radicalized, be more masculine by manosphere content, you know, more power to you. I would just say like, I don't know, maybe think a little deeper. I mean, like, there's more to it than that. Like, I know it's kind of the vibe is, oh, women are bitches and hoes and treat women like shit and just bang everyone. And it's like, don't get married. Don't love your kids. Just, it's always the most insane fucking shit you hear from them. And you're like, what the fuck? You know, but,
I mean, that's kind of the rabbit hole that I fell down too, which was dismantling who's behind. Because in my opinion, a lot of this is ops, influence operation. which is just a type of PSYOP, basically, right? Where you have a either a private party, or you have a political group, or you have an entire fucking country, right? Or an entire, you know, a terrorist organization who has a lot of money to pay, you know, media firms and, you know, public relations firms to manipulate the platform for these specific creators who they sign contracts with, and then pay them a lot of money to basically manage their presence. So somebody like Pearl Davis, and the conclusions that I've come to based on a lot of research, right? People like Pearl Davis, they are managed by handlers. You know, that's something I think your audience will resonate with, right? But you could also call them like PR representatives, right? They've got a firm behind them who are saying, you need to start tweeting something more about this. You need to focus on this angle, focus here. And we're going to make the tweets for you, and we're going to post them at this time, this time, and this time, so that we can peak engagement. We're going to boost you with bot farms, right? So that's kind of what's happening when you see these people going viral with these rage bait accounts. And the other thing that they're doing is, you know, this, the field of cybernetics, which is basically that your activity online it's not just your data that's a commodity anymore. It's your activity and your opinions online. So if they put out a tweet that says something inflammatory, they're actually gauging how people are responding to it and kind of tinkering and moderating it to say, let's dial it back down here and dial it up here and see what happens, right? They're testing the waters so that they can be more efficient in putting these kind of messages out. And unfortunately, the first thing that I noticed with Pearl was that she was pushing for like the same thing that I think you kind of brought up, which is like, you know what? You all need to be finding virgins. Virgins are like what you need to find. And young women, look how ugly old women are. They're useless and their eggs are all dried up. And like young. And I'm like, how young are we talking here? Who's behind the curtain? Let's pull the mask off this thing. Like, what is this, right? Why are you pushing for this like lower and lower age of, you know, it's kind of a weird, you know. And, you know, the other thing that they're pushing for is women covering up. I'm not talking about like, you know, just wearing normal clothes and not being an OnlyFans. I'm talking about like, need to be in a turtleneck right now. Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's like, yeah. What are we pushing for? We're pushing for women to be completely covered from head to toe. And we're pushing for men to basically seek out virgins to obey them and be their housewives. And like, what does that sound like? Let's really talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? And so then I started to find that a lot of the people related to that sphere were getting paid by people in the Middle East. And that's as far as I kind of got, because I'm not, you know, I don't really have the resources to look into it anymore, but it really makes you think like, who's behind these narratives, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we could keep digging deeper, but it is weird with the manosphere thing. It is just, I feel like to some extent, kind of what you're describing is, I feel like maybe they've kind of created this little honeypot for incels and they don't like it getting disrupted. But that doesn't mean there aren't other ops going on within the manosphere itself. Mm. But I think to some extent, the manosphere itself kind of blew up, at least more recently, in kind of in response to this like neuterized man that we've created, because it's kind of this over exaggerated response. And I mean, hopefully it'll peter out, but it's like that now the NGOs come out to try to fight that somewhat. Because I mean, don't get me wrong, I I'm not at all trying to say the manosphere is great, but I do think to some extent it is like kind of embodying like a neutered form of man that's been pushed down in modern times somewhat.
Sure, the pendulum swing, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So I think to some extent this is men who never really had their like, you know, 16 to 24 age of young, dumb, and full of cum, now finally like embracing that and going nuts with it. So like,
you know, but that's a good point. You know, I think that ultimately there's no just like easy answer. People really want there to be a really easy, simple, oh, the deep state. Oh, it's all the feds, but it's really not. It's a combination of various competing interests, and they're competing for control of your brain, right? Because it's all a big advertising tool now, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you have with like the manosphere, for example, it's like the chicken or the egg, right? Is this like an example of like a Hegelian dialectic where we create a problem, provide a solution for it, right? You create a terrorist and then, oh, now we need to research the terrorists and find out where they start and censor and surveil and expand the surveillance state. Yes, it is that. Is every single aspect of it that? No, you've also got opportunists who go, oh, you know what? People are tired of feminism. You know what we can do? We can seize on this market opportunity to sell books and you know, podcasts and make money, make a lot of money off of this trend that people are having. So really, it's all exploitive and bad. And we should all just fucking turn our TVs off. But anyways, you know, it's a mix of all of these things. And it's, but all of it's just very exploitive, I think. It's all a psyop at this point.
Oh, yeah. Everything's psyop. All right. I guess we'll kind of hone in a little bit on that incel, you know, kind of area, that sphere. Kind of let's talk about the mass shooting. I know recently you put out a series of tweets that irritate a lot of people, because I know the kind of the go-to generic conservative response with mass shootings is, or one of them, I guess it's almost like slightly more based than the generic boomer the take on mass shooting is it's, oh, it's the SSRIs. And don't get me wrong, I'm someone who's very wary of any sort of meds. I'm the kind of guy that I don't take anything until my wife bitches at me to take it. Cause she's like, you're sick, you need to take some meds. I'm not a meds kind of guy. And I'm generally don't think that's probably a good thing, but I'm a doctor. I'm sure there's probably isolated cases where it is, but it is, I mean, I know from my, looking into like MK Ultra and stuff, you know, on a few rabbit holes I've been on, that is a common, drugs are a common factor. So it would be silly if we didn't recognize that. So I'm just kind of curious, you've, I guess, kind of done the legwork and looked through a shitload of mass shooting data. So I was kind of curious, like, what are your highlights? What are the common things? And how common is this SSRI myth? And I would still think it probably is some component to this larger puzzle, but I don't think it's probably the component that some people want it to be.
Well, yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is like when I started doing this like project on mass shootings and I started to really like look into all of this stuff, right? I was almost just under the assumption that that was going to be a key contributor because of how like fervently this is like perpetuated to us all the time, right? It's something that's just always comes up. So you assume, well, there's gotta be some truth to it, right? Because all these people are yapping about it, right? But the more I looked into it, the more I started to realize like, yeah, we don't actually have any evidence of this at all. And before people are like going to be like, well, that's because they cover it up. And that's because there's, you know, there's no records for this and that. Well, it's like, yeah, okay. That's true to a large extent. We don't actually have a lot of those records. And that's why, you know, people like me and like, you know, a lot of people that I work with, we push for that transparency. We push for those FOIAs because we want to know. However, it's, you know, it's kind of like the left seizing on guns, right? Everyone's trying to find a reason for it, something that they can bank on. And nobody's talking about what, in my opinion, is the real cause of a lot of these, which is that people are straight up being individually indoctrinated and groomed to be shooters. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it personally. I know it's happening. So, you know, I think that we should probably just talk about that, but it always gets drowned out by these narratives, these agendas that people are pushing. So I was very surprised to find, you know, and I have a research database of like almost 200 mass shootings that have occurred since 1965 with the 66 since the UT clock tower, right? Charles Whitman. Obviously back then people weren't on as many drugs. Right. But, you know, I took a database of these shooters and I really just did fact check all of them back through 2018. And when I say mass shooters, I'm using a very specific definition of that, even more specific than most of them use. I'm using, I'm not really paying attention to how many people were killed because I don't really think that's an issue. Because if they got stopped before that, that doesn't make it any less significant of where they were and what they were doing, right? So for me, I took this database and I kind of filtered out ones that I didn't think fit the criteria. For example, they were domestic incidences or they were gang related. And I added a couple that didn't quite meet the threshold of number of people killed, like the Gilroy Garlic Festival. It's a very important one. The Pittsburgh synagogue shooting, very important one, right? That's being left out because it didn't quite hit that threshold. So anyways, I had this huge database and I started painstakingly going through and just researching it and trying to find out a couple of like annoying ones. Like I hear the one that's like, oh, they didn't have a father figure. Their parents are divorced, had a single mom. Also very unusual. surprisingly, most of them, like, I mean, probably like 70% were married, had married parents. You know, and to me, that's kind of like where I throw the reverse Uno card and I go, well, actually, it looks like most of them had married parents. So would you say that that's more of a factor? Do you think now, are you going to change your position to say, actually, married parents cause mass shootings? They're gonna be like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm like, well, it's ridiculous either way, because you're trying to conflate correlation with causation when it's just.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
That's not a reasonable way to look at things, right? Mm-hmm. So when I saw all of this data with the SSRIs, and I started to notice that very, very few were actually on SSRIs. In fact, very few were on psychiatric drugs at all. And that to me was very significant, because when you really start to individually research these events, you research the person, see what's going on, and like you read all of the statements by their parents. You know, some of them had very long histories of psychiatric problems. Some of them were just ticking time bombs where people were like, yeah, no shit, that guy. You know, we already knew that. Like with Robert Card, who is one of them that I see people trying to use as an example of SSRIs. In fact, he was never on. He was hospitalized for like 2 weeks against his will, like, you know, maybe 6 or 7 months prior to the shooting. But that was his only psychiatric help, and he refused treatment.
The main shooter?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So he refused treatment. Yeah. He was, it, you know, in fact, that one is like, why aren't we talking about the police accountability here? Because his family, his friends, and everyone in the town were like, this guy keeps talking about shooting places up. You have to do something about it. So the cops actually asked his brother, hey, can you like go take his guns away, please? And he's like, okay, fine. So he goes and takes them, but I guess he didn't get all of them, right? The police were afraid to go up there. The police were afraid of him. So they basically just like let this happen, right? This guy wasn't on drugs. He was hospitalized because he was talking about shooting people. And so to say that this is caused by SSRIs is absurd. Really looks like he needed to be on medication, right? He's hearing voices. I think it's a really weird place that we're in right now where people go, oh, the Aurora, Colorado shooter, right? It's like, oh yeah, he went to a psychiatrist right before the shooting because he was thinking about killing people 3 or 4 times a day. This is what was in the psychiatrist statement. Like he came to me saying he was thinking about killing people 3 to 4 times a day. So yeah, I put him on psychiatric drugs. And then when he goes and commits a shooting, people go, oh, it was the drugs. It's like, like he went there thinking about shooting people, right? So it's really weird to me that it's this logical fallacy, and they're and the data that they're producing is largely incorrect. Like I think that the post you're talking about was based on that, right? Because there was like this post with like a picture of all these people that had gone on shootings that were on SSRIs, and I debunked half of them. Like Cho was not on drugs. In fact, that was a huge, there was like a huge, like, I guess a hearing about that. Why wasn't he on drugs? Because there were all these, you know, chances to put him on medications or hospitalize him that had failed. But they're listing him on that is like, oh yeah, he was on SSRIs because he was on them for like 2 months in the 8th grade. So like they're including people who were on SSRIs 10 years ago, right? Which is kind of silly. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of, it's not just that like there's no correlation, because there's not. In fact, the vast majority of them had signs of psychosis, but were not on any kind of medications, which makes you wonder if they should have been. That's where my mind goes, right? Because that's the logical conclusion. But then I start seeing like all of this disinformation cranked out where they're just lying to you and saying that these people were on SSRIs when they objectively were not. That really makes me wonder what the intention of those people are. And when, sure enough, when you trace that particular post back, the person who wrote that article has an entire website devoted to holistic healing. He wants to sell you vitamins. So of course he wants to convince you that, you know, so there is like, you know, this, I guess, I don't think that's the majority of people, but sometimes that's all it takes to get these disinformation campaigns off the ground. And when you trace it back, you find out somebody's just pulling a fast one on you.
Yeah. So what's the common thing? Is the ELF waves? Is that what we're seeing across every one of them? You probably haven't heard of ELF. I think it's like the frequency.
Have you
gone down that rabbit hole yet?
Yeah. No, I have. Well, it's I did whenever I went down the Travis Scott Astroworld rabbit hole, which is like, I can't come back from that one. That one was too much, man.
Okay. Like, yeah, I haven't gone down that one.
Oh shit. The connections to like the Marina Abramovich lady and the Satanist like symbolism everywhere, which is like so in your face and obvious. Right. Yeah. Apparently Travis,
Adam Lanza.
Yeah. How,
I think he had reported hearing like a hum that was driving him nuts for a while or some shit like that. And that's obviously common among other ones. And, but then you look into some of the old declassified stuff our Fed boys were looking into, like sciencey stuff. There was a lot of research into like different what they can do to brains with different types of tech or radiation, or not radiation, but like waves of some sort.
Yeah.
I don't know how true any of that is. That's all above my head.
It's documented in old, CIA records and stuff. But at Astroworld, so it turned out that Travis Scott used something called infrasound, which is like a frequency that's below the frequency that humans can hear, like elephants can hear it and stuff. So it can cause animals to disperse. And they used to use it in like the Middle East for crowd control. They would play this infrasound. It would make people unsettled and anxious and want to just disperse. Well, they started using it in like horror movies. Like Paranormal Activity was one where they used infrasound. But they found that people didn't like it. Like people would just leave the theater without knowing why. They just didn't like it. But it's like you're subconsciously, you notice it, but like your conscious mind doesn't register it, right? So apparently Travis Scott had a thing for playing infrasound for like hours before his show. And people had these TikTok videos, like this strange noise has been playing like for like hours leading up. It's really bothering us. And the crowd's really antsy, and the crowd's more antsy than normal. And that's what led to that crowd crush scenario where all those people died. And you're like, what the fuck is even happening, man? You know?
Yeah. That sort of stuff, those rabbit holes make you really schizo.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting at home and I'll hear like a whoa, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on? I'm like, oh, that's just a fan.
Oh, it's that V2K. Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about you. One thing you brought up to me, and I think you've kind of been looking into this recently, and you mentioned it just a little bit ago, the ties with the satanic group and the whole J6 stuff. I remember Ken Silva, I don't remember if we talked about it on my show or if he just sent one of his articles he wrote, but I remember because he's been on quite a few times, but I remember he covered that, and for some reason I want to say it came up in my Kyle Seraphim interview, but it's been so long since I've gone to it. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't, I don't know. I thought you mentioned it did, or maybe it just had you thinking about it.
I think that Ken Silva's article mentioned your interview with Kyle Seraphim.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Cause then he was kind of tying that. I forget the specifics of that, but yeah, no, it's been so long since I've like really dug into that. So let's kind of reopen that. Cause I think you've kind of been digging into it, and it's still a story that like I scratch my head at, cause like this one, I struggle to see the connections, I guess. Cause it's just, I know it seems like in every conspiracy, like you get like feds, you dig a little bit deeper and then you might see some satanic stuff, maybe some child trafficking. But like, it's weird for me with this J6 one that the satanic like already reared its head this low level, or maybe we got a peek behind the curtain. I'm not sure. You want to give a summary of kind of what I'm talking about here, and then we'll kind of talk about it. Cause it's just, it's still weird. I still scratch my head.
It's really hard to understand.
What do I make of all this?
Yeah. And I'm actually making a video about it right now to try to put it out there better. I wasn't really sure what to do with that information when I got it. So I gave it to Ken and was like, let's see what happens. But, once you see the satanic stuff, you really do see it everywhere. You can't unsee it. But in order to get to that level where you see it everywhere, you have to go down the path that I've been down, which is to see a lot of weird occult shit going on. And a lot of these people, these provocateurs, they're dark, they're occultists. That sounds crazy, but they are. They're, you know, the goals for them aren't to like ritually sacrifice people. The goals for them are to deceive, manipulate, and trick people. And that's their primary objective is to deceive, manipulate, trick. You know, if they can get other people to do evil things for them, that's like they're a huge boost of confidence. That's what they're really going for. So once you start to kind of see that and see their little tactics, like their little quirky things that they do, you see it everywhere. But that takes a tremendous amount of digging to get there. So for what I found, it was when I was looking into the incel stuff. The woman who I mentioned earlier, she had mentioned her friend Jade. And I was at the time I was looking into Highland Park mass shooting, which is that's the kid who was at the 4th of July parade, Robert Cremo. He was Awake the Rapper. He had all this cringe rap videos. Well, what they didn't really talk about was that he had put together an alternate reality game, and it had all led to this manifesto, this manuscript document called Arcturus that was 27 pages of numbers. And the alternate reality game was set up so that you could decrypt the manifesto, which nobody has done. But at the time, I had mentioned it to this woman, and she was like, oh my God, my friend Jade is also looking into this. And we were sharing research, not knowing she was a fed. I found out later, you know, after I kind of figured out who she was, who this, you know, person, this podcaster was, then I started to be like, who the hell is Jade? Like, who is this person? Like, who is this? She was sharing all this information with. Well, then I ended up finding out that person was a woman named Jade Parker. She was a JSOC military intelligence contractor with a very high clearance level who had worked conducting cyber ops against ISIS. And she had been most recently looking into the alt-right and this rise in this like aesthetic-based terrorism. You might kind of know what I'm talking about when I say that, right? Skull masks, you know, fash wave, all
the
of
cool
the
cool Stalingrad thing that spins with the, Black with the Sun synth wave music.
Yeah. Yeah. So she'd been looking into that recently. And so when I found out that this person was like a military intelligence contractor, I was like, whoa, like I was just sharing my mass shooting research with this person. Like, what was she doing with it? Right. That's kind of creepy and weird, but so then I started looking into her and I realized that, you know, she was a very respectable person in her field. She had some sort of an unraveling around, you know, 2022, like right after kind of I had talked to Nam, I guess she disappeared. So this person who'd been online and had an online footprint for several years and had been on many podcasts and published a lot of papers was gone. Like we have not been able to find her. We don't know where she went. Before she left, she was posting a lot of erratic stuff on Twitter, concerning stuff for someone with a security clearance to say. Stuff like that she was being basically harassed and not gang stalked, but like ganged up on by all of these counterterrorism people, and that they had stolen her work on accelerationism. And that they had rebranded it, reframed it, presented it to Congress in a different way than she had, you know, intended. And then they had ousted her from the community, kind of basically gaslit everybody to think she was crazy and just like excommunicated her, took her research, which was very important, and reframed it, which to me is like, oh, they did not want whatever that was getting out. So before that she had gone missing, she had been spamming a Google Drive link, but it was not accessible because her Twitter account had been deleted. We were looking at the archives. But we dug and dug and dug, and we eventually were able to find a working link to this Google document, which was still up, still accessible. You can access it from Ken's article, actually. And that article was called The Origins of Accelerationism. So accelerationism is like what we think of when we think of the skull masks and like the Patriot Front. And basically, it's these people who are trying to pit everyone against each other to produce societal uprisings, civil uprisings, societal collapse, right? If you hear people like using these aesthetics and talking about the collapse, they're either accelerationists or they're just promoting that idea and aesthetic and don't realize it because it's trendy. I think that's happening a lot. People are not realizing that this is like, the whole goal is to get people to be afraid and think that there's an impending civil war and think that things are going to collapse so that there's tension. And I'm sure that you've heard of the strategy of tension, right? And Operation Gladio, and all of that's tied into this as well. The strategy of tension is basically getting people afraid, making them think that society is going to collapse, there could be civil war, terrorists are everywhere, so that they're more dependent on the government, or they're more accepting of the government overstepping their authority. And so when we found this document, we found out that she had been the person to coin the term accelerationism. I mean, she was the person who found out that this was happening. So she wasn't just somebody who just stepped in on the trend. No, she's the one who called it out. And she even says in there that she went to a government agency and pleaded with them to stop the lone wolf attacks. She says they're not lone wolf attacks. These people are being radicalized and indoctrinated by this terrorist group. They're decentralized and they're not right. They're not left. They're the neo-fascist part is really an aesthetic. But at the time she speculated it was Russia, but then she kind of backed back on that and said, I don't really know anymore. But basically she was trying to say that there's something way bigger going on here. Like, you know, these people who are doing this, they want the West to fall. They want the West to collapse. And they're convincing people to commit terror attacks to do it because they want people to fight over gun control. That's why they're all using AR-15s. That's why they're picking the certain targets. That's why you're seeing a lot of trans shooters, or, you know, they're picking and choosing the shooter and the place and everything and planning it out so that people will fight over it at the max. That's what their intent is. And it's working beautifully, as you can see, right? Mm-hmm. So when the Satanism stuff comes in, it's because when she chased down this network, what she eventually backed out and said she wasn't sure if it was Russia anymore, because now what she was seeing was the satanic element. And she was starting to believe that this satanic neo-Nazi movement called Order of Nine Angles was actually the primary aggressor in this campaign. If you look into the history of Order of Nine Angles, very interesting, because the founder, David Myatt, was actually has been linked to Operation Gladio. I mean, he was basically a Cold War era spy. And a lot of these Satanists were, because if you really, really look into the history of Satanism, what it's used for, it's used by intelligence agencies to undermine, you know, movements, to say, oh, they're linked to Satanism, or to demonize them and be like, oh, they're real spooky and evil. Look at how scary, because everybody's scared of Satanism. Right? So they use it as like something to ratchet the fear up. And, you know, like Aleister Crowley was an MI6 agent that was sent to infiltrate the Nazi movement. And he basically helped them form all this weird occult esoteric Hitlerism stuff that we're seeing now with the Black Sun. A lot of people have speculated that that was intentional. They were trying to reduce support for the Nazis. And, you know, what better way to do that than to go in there and turn half of them into Satanists so that the other half is like, what the hell's going on? I'm out, man. You know? They did the same thing with Adam Waffen, which was a very, what we would mostly consider an accelerationist network. You know, they infiltrated Adam Waffen with the Order of Nine Angles. They basically split up the group because half the group was like, I'm not going to do this weird Satan shit, right? Mm-hmm. We also know that the founder of the U.S. branch of the O9A, Joshua Sutter, we recently found out through court records, based on the Adam Waffen sting, that he was been a paid FBI informant for something like 20 years. So he was a paid FBI informant when he started this group. And there was a big, you know, it didn't get a lot of press, but Congress did investigate, the DOJ did investigate the FBI, because the FBI was found to have bankrolled his publishing company, which he used to push out all this pedophile, ritual murder, nasty propaganda that's been the basis of this group's organization. The entire time. So the thing was objectively a Fed op. Objectively, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, even some of the people who've been researching O9A for years, there's a guy named Jake Hanrahan. He's in the UK. He came out and was like, what the fuck, FBI? It's like, you're not doing your jobs if you're allowing this high paid informant to push out this disgusting material, right? You let your op get way out of control if that's the case, or maybe they had control the whole time, right?
Yep.
So what we've seen is that, you know, there's been a couple of different terrorist organizations that have been infiltrated and brought down by Sutter. Because now we know what his usernames are. We can look for them in court records. We've identified them in the Adam Waffen records, the National Socialist Order. He was involved in that one too. So yeah, I mean, everybody knows this guy's a Fed. It's just like, what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah.
Now we're seeing them in the background of like the incels and stuff. They're provoking them to terrorism.
Yeah, it is really weird. I'm having someone on soon that explored this area a little bit more, but like when you do start digging deeper, seeing all the ties between like Satanism or Moloch worship or whatever fucking, you know, generally it's a catch-all term of Satanism and Fed stuff. It's weird. Like you do see, you know, I believe had connections. There was that other guy that has the pointy eyebrows. Everyone always points out.
Oh, Aquino? Yeah. Aquino.
Yeah. Yeah, he was literally in the military. I think he was loosely associated with the McMartin stuff. But it you know, the more we think about it, it makes sense on multiple levels. It gives you a good cover because it seems so bizarre. Because as soon as we start talking about Satanism, most people shut off because they're like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And anyone who follows my show knows I'm not religious. I'm an agnostic atheist. So like, I mean, I'm not like immediately like these are literal Satan worshipers and this is, you know. But I think there are people, you know, that might believe that and to what extent the interplay is with the Feds, whether that's a useful thing or maybe there is some deeper, darker religion of power behind the scenes. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know either, man.
Because I can see it from both sides because it's like, you know, even if there is no real, you know, demonic entity, it's like the religion serves its purpose by consolidating power. So,
yeah. I mean, it's interesting you brought up Aquino because he's, you know, he's basically the person who's mostly attributed to just advancing the psychological warfare effort in the U.S., which expanded worldwide. And at this point, everything's just a competing psyops. It's not just like the Satanists are psyop, like everyone's psyoping you all the time. Like there's the left is psyoping you, the right is psyoping you. There's think tanks, there's NGOs, and it's all a big fuck fest, right? But you do have these, you know, Aquino was, you know, spearheaded all of these influence operations. And again, he is actually the Setians, the Temple of Set. He actually does worship a physical manifestation of Satan. But it doesn't matter because the point of it is deceive, manipulate, trick, influence, you know, and so now this has become like a commodity, like a goods that people want. They're like, yes, we want this organization that runs these big influence operations, you know? But you know, what's funny, what you said about, you know, these scary, spooky Satanist neo-Nazi guys is that, like, I was actually kind of wondering why they hadn't said anything to me yet, because they're all on Twitter talking to each other all the time, really cringe. And it's really cringe. Like, if you think of a movie where you've got these like cringe, like emo kids being like, Hills, you know, Vindex, like, you know, and they're doing all this really cringe shit from like reminds you of like The Craft, that movie The Craft or something, right? And you're like, oh, this is like so cringy to witness, right? So one of them eventually kind of, I guess I got on his radar and he started to tweet at me, and I basically just bullied this person off the internet by calling him a Fed over and over and over until he deactivated his account. And I'm like, I was like, damn, I really thought it was going to get spooky. I thought it was going to look like scary. Like I was actually wondering like what's going to happen. Like he just deactivated his account. Cause a bunch of my followers jumped in. We'd all just start calling him Fed and he just fucking deactivated his account. I was like, ah, these guys aren't really that scary. You know what I mean? When you think about it, you're like, maybe they are all Feds, right? Maybe there are, you know, because you had to wonder, like, how many people have they killed, right? They've been, now there were two followers of O9A who killed two girls, I think in like England, and that was like several years ago. But really, there hasn't really been any crime like directly attributed to the satanic cult, even though they make it seem like it's just super dangerous. But you know, it's all hot air. It's not, they're not actually out there, you know, killing people under the name of this. However, they are behind the scenes trying to provoke other people to do it, because that is, and even if you study the O9A literature, what they're trying to do is they're trying to they're trying to radicalize what they call opfers, which are basically like offerings. Like that's their form of sacrifice, is finding a person who will do something evil for them. That's what they're trying to do. So these shooters are their opfers. These are these people who are, they've convinced, they've tricked and deceived and manipulated them into going and committing this awful act. And that's their, that's what they do. That's their peak, you know, like motive. And so anybody who's seeing it as like a spooky satanic cult that's out there, like being spooky and satanic, like what are they really doing? Well, they're in these chat rooms trying to convince kids to go on mass shootings. That's what they're doing. But I've seen this with my own two eyes. So it's very hard for people to convince me otherwise, you know?
It really is kind of lame if you look at the techniques of today to the techniques of yesteryear, all the different ways that, you know, because you're reprogrammed to kill, and the theory there is that, you know, like out of MK Ultra was born, you know, kind of like morphed in with Operation Phoenix. They kind of brought it home. They kind of utilized serial killers to their advantage, and there might be some spooky element to there. And they were doing some crazy shit. They were straight up murdering people in satanic fashion, and some of which may have been hits for the feds. And now today we just have nerds hanging out in chat rooms.
They're always on Twitter acting cringe, and then you call them feds and they run away. It's like, oh, what's even happening now? They're not sending their best anymore, I guess. We just get harder,
In a certain sense, they're working on a larger stage, and in some ways probably moving things in different ways. A lot of this reminds me of the whole Eliza Blue thing that came a while back. I've actually almost completely forgot most of the details about that, and I know a lot of my audience was probably, a lot of people reflexively immediately were like freaking out against. And that wasn't me. And I know that pissed off some people when that was going on. I never really gave my full take because I did know some more stuff behind the scenes. But it reminds me a lot, some of the weird numbers stuff and that shit, that really reminded me. And I don't remember what of this stuff that I've talked about was not supposed to be repeated, so only speed and vagaries and not. I just remember behind the scenes there were groups of people. And I think there was, like, I vaguely recall some sort of symbology of some sort. So it reminds me of a lot of the stuff you're talking about with the 09A stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems to be there's similarities. And I think there definitely was a darker aspect of that. Like that, you know, this one's culture. Hard.
Yeah. This one's hard for me because, you know, so like when I was exposing Twitch for the child predator thing, right when that Bloomberg article came out and everybody was tagging me on Twitter and freaking out because they're like, holy shit, you know, like she wasn't crazy after all. Here it is. Right. I got attacked on a smear campaign. And it was very strange because there were fake accounts involved, people who were trying to provoke other people to attack me, people posing as me and doing stuff. Like, it was very bizarre. There was a lot of strange stuff going on. It was a while back, so you guys probably weren't like really on my radar yet, but it was actually pretty awful. And I had to leave the internet for a little while because it was just, there was so much harassment. My YouTube channel got banned, my Twitter got banned, and like people were just like coming at me from all angles, and I didn't know what the hell was going on. And so, you know, it was quite surprising when a couple of months later, another child advocate who had, you know, Eliza Blue, who had helped me behind the scenes with the Twitch thing. So I know she's an advocate because she helped me when I was doing my thing, right? She's a huge account compared to me, but she was very quick to respond and give me advice and kind of just give me encouragement, which was really meaningful to me, right? So I'm not going to dismiss like, oh, well, she did something in her past. Like, okay, well, she's still advocating for kids now. What the fuck are you doing? You know? So what happened is like when I saw her start to get attacked and I started to see all this viral attention, which by now I know if there's viral attention of that level, there's somebody behind it. Okay. It's always a psyop. If something goes boom, really from zero to viral, you're seeing it everywhere. Like the Panama guy who shot the climate change guy, people, not, there weren't climate change people. They were people in Panama. The entire country was protesting the tyrannical government. But that was a big psyop as well that was pushed out. And I have a video about that on my Rumble. You can go watch it. But again, it's just like when you see something go from zero to 100 and there's memes everywhere, that's the MO of these guys. There are there are firms or companies who pay, I mean, like tens of thousands of dollars a week. $40,000 a week was what one of these places were charging to put forth this kind of a disinformation campaign against somebody. So you got to really piss someone off. But at the same time, it got me wondering, like, well, how I was advocating for kids and it happened to me, and now she's advocating because it's happening to her. So yeah, I took a peek behind the curtain, and you're right to have seen some spooky elements there, because ultimately a lot of the people who are in that group are, again, dark occultists. They call themselves sorcerers. Okay. They're trolls, professional trolls online. They operate bot farms. They put together elaborate storylines. They fabricate websites. They use deep fakes. I mean, it's actually so bizarre and crazy to even talk about. Yep. I've been scared away from talking about it for a while because I got too close and these people actually threatened me. Because that I was like quick, shining a flashlight back there, you know?
Yeah, this was the real story when this was all going down. Because I feel like it all got lost in the noise, and it immediately, like, there was this effect where, you know, there's a societal thing where they're like almost trying to make people pick a side. Like, you were either pro Eliza or you're anti Eliza or whatever. And like, that was even kind of beside the point, like, because it was kind of like, I don't even remember confusing the specific claims. It was confusing. Yeah. What are we even accusing? What are we mad at her for? Like, what that she, like, I guess that she maybe exaggerated some of her claims about being hoed around. I don't, like, fucking know. Like, and I know, I mean, don't get me wrong. She didn't do herself any favors, I don't think, on social media. Because I know, like, for example, she was like threatening to pursue legal action or some shit about people sharing videos of her ass shaking around, which, like,
yeah, but actually a lot of that was actually, I mean, like, so she had maybe said some things, but she had basically stayed pretty quiet. But the thing is that they were coming out and saying she's copyright striking all of our channels. But what I figured out was that anyone can copyright strike a channel. Anyone can. And I realized that they're copyright striking themselves and these other people's channels, and they're using an account that had her name and blaming it on her. So, like, literally that's how far they're going, and people aren't thinking past it, which was the most strange thing to me. I had this twilight zone. I know what you're talking about. This twilight zone feeling where everyone is like, why aren't you listening to us? Why aren't you believing us? And I'm like, why aren't you seeing what I'm seeing? How are you falling for this? It was so strange, dystopian, like you're in the twilight zone and everybody has turned into like this brain dead NPC drone and you're all alone. And I wasn't all alone. There were a few other people who picked up on this. We're all in like group chats together, like panicking, like, what the hell is happening, right? People, and you know, one of the craziest things,
creating the websites was what I was getting honing in there. Because I remember I was reading one of Shane Cashman's articles on it. And he was literally, I believe he was showing examples of like, and yeah, here's this thing. And I remember the news, I guess I say news cycle, but it was the Twitter cycle of people starting fake drama. And there would be so many like, oh, here's this new piece of drama. And but then I'd, or whatever, and it'd be based on some falsehood. And don't get me wrong, maybe some truths were in there as well, but you get lost in this fog of all this information swirling around, and we're arguing about this point that seems to be beside the point. The point is that this is even happening at all.
Yeah. Like, who's doing this? Who paid to have this child advocate yeeted off the internet is what you should be asking. Who is that person who wants to shut this person up? Absolutely. And, you know, about the website and the Shane Cashman story, you know, yours truly there was behind the scenes with that one. But I mean, yeah, well, I didn't want to be cited, but he cited me anyways. And it ended up having to cause me to bug out. And that's what ended up getting me in trouble. But because I'd been, you know, the first thing I did was I noticed the person who had been putting this out, like, who's the accuser here? And then I go to this guy's page and I'm like, this guy claims to be Q. And I'm not even kidding. Like, he's been in documentaries as listed as possibly the person behind Q. And I'm like, and he's all in all these weird cringe YouTube videos, basically just like making fun of everybody for falling for it. Oh, dumb right wing. I'm like, why are y'all listening to this guy? You know? And I figured that like some of these influencers had to be getting paid. Like, because I went to them personally and was like, what's happening here? And they were just like kind of trying to like shut me up or placate me. And I'm like, No, like I start to realize that a lot of these people are bought and paid for. A lot of these people that you see online a lot, they really are bought and paid for. I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of people, even some bigger ones, that were just, and I can kind of understand the intuition because, like, I mean, anyone knows my show. My other show is Tower Gang. We're known for being like offensive comedy, and we're known for some of our antics and fucking with people online who come at us and shit. And so, like, I understand the impulse that a lot of people fell to there. And I don't get me wrong, I immediately kind of was like, I could understand from an internet culture perspective how, like, this is a fun, like, pylon. Like, this is easy. Here's some chick who shaked her ass around. If you don't know the story,
some chick who's a child advocate, though. Like, what are you doing? Exactly. Who's going to replace her? You know?
Yeah. So, but the point is, I knew, like, more of the story. So I understand, too, people see, you know, and there were some claims that were swirling around where she did kind of have, I remember she had a sloppy definition at one point of what she thought trafficking was, but whatever. This is all like just kind of like nonsense stuff people I thought were like kind of jumping on. And like, cause so then people were pointing to that to like, maybe she wasn't really, you know, an escort. I don't fucking know. I don't care. She's child advocating now. Yeah. It's kind of beside the point.
I mean, she helped me personally. So I felt I kind of owed it to her and also owed it to everybody else to be like, hey, like, I mean, she really did help me out when I was producing this major story that actually changed the way Twitch operated, you know, probably for the worse, but they deserved it. And I don't care. Okay. You know, and, you know, what you were saying about, you know, these people just kind of piling on, that's, I think that a lot of them were just doing it for the clout and because it's the trending topic and these people who are behind this stuff, they know that that's how people operate because they are psychologists. They don't study the internet. They don't study politics. They study the human mind, right? They study how people behave and they work at like IARPA think tanks. Some of them were like the guy who was behind it was like worked for IARPA at a think tank, which is basically where they do these information, disinformation simulations, right? Where they figure out all this stuff. So these guys are heavy hitters. And, yeah, it was just very, very, very strange. And when I started to kind of talk about it, yeah, like you said, I was basically outcasted. Like, why is she so stupid? Why isn't she like dogpiling it like everybody else? And I'm just like, you know, what is happening here? But you notice that one person who didn't pile on was Tim Pool. And what's funny is that, you know, I can't say too much. I can't say too much about like what happened right now, but one day I'll write a book, I promise. So what one day he said, what did he say? He was like somebody had just pushed him enough on super chats to be like, why are you talking about it? Why are you talking about it? And he had this like little mini meltdown where he was like, oh, fucking reputation management firms and blah, blah, blah. And people were like, dude, Tim Pool's gone crazy. He's lost it. Right. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, yeah, no, he knows. He knows exactly what's going on. Yep. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. Like, I mean, you were talking to Shane and like they keep their circle fairly small there. And so, I definitely was talking to, you know, Shane, not like I was getting a ton of background information, but yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, we can definitely talk more after because I forget. It's such an old topic and I forget what stuff was said.
I mean, Shane's a good guy. I think he was really operating in good faith and I did help him get some of the information. But the stuff that I can talk to offline, but the stuff that happened went so far beyond what I've described here as the most insane thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Like I got a glimpse behind the curtain at like how it would be a relief to find out that the deep state existed. It was all the globalists pulling strings. Like, cause what's behind the curtain is actually so much fucking weirder, dude. It's so weird. Like it's just a bunch of nerds trolling the internet and, you know, political parties it's crazy, dude. I don't know.
Weird stuff. Well, it's been a pleasure having you. If you want to tell people where they can find you, we'll get out of here and I'm sure we'll do this again some other time.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, tons of time. So just let me know. Always down for podcasts or whatever, even just if it's like a bunch of people just shooting the shit. It's BX underscore on underscore X on Twitter. You can find me most of my stuff there. My bio link has like all my other stuff. I do art. You know, I started to do art because I needed a way to like It was like a therapy for me to try to like decompress from everything and to like get my right brain flowing and try to just relax. So that's what I mostly do on Twitch. I also have a Rumble channel, a BX on Rumble, with just like no spaces or anything, just BX on Rumble. And I'm trying to commit to uploading more there this year. I know people want to see that from me. It's just that I spend a lot of time researching and I don't ever have the time to actually produce content. So.
Well, that works perfectly for me. So when you have research, come to me and I'll steal that content.
No worries, man. Yeah, I'm not here to be famous or like to be like a huge, I've already basically decided that I wanted, I mean, I even changed my name recently because I just wanted to have less of an audience, which sounds stupid, but like, you know.
Yeah. No, I feel you. But if you guys want to make me famous, if you want to help expand this operation, you can support me at patreon.com/NoWayJose2020. I'm just kidding. If I could just get to a point where I can do this part-time, that'd be fucking nice. Yeah. But yeah, if you guys want to support my stuff, you can find me on YouTube, all the major odd pocketers, Rumble as well. Follow me on Twitter at TowerGangJose. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. And with that, we are out. Stick around. We'll gossip after this.
Sure.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.